This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
الحمد لله احمده واستعينه واستغفره واستهديه واعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من بين خلقه وخليله بلغ الرساله وادى الامانه ونصح لهذه الامه صلوات الله وسلامه عليه يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون يا ايها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحده وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والارحام ان الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم اعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. My dear brothers and sisters, it is mentioned that a righteous man by the name of Hatim, who was known as Hatim al-Asam, rahimahullah, was very, very well-known personality of his time. He was known for his ibadah, for his knowledge, decided to make Hajj one year. However, he had a dilemma. He didn't have enough provision for his family to last them. So he spoke to them and he said to them that I feel a calling to go and perform Hajj this year and I wanted to get your permission to do so. So the members of his household said, wait a minute, we don't have enough to last us until you come back. And he said, I just feel very compelled to go. So would you allow me and permit me to do so? So the individuals within his household started to have conversation amongst themselves. And one of his daughters said, wait a minute, our sustainer and maintainer is not our father, but it's rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even if we run out of provision when our father is gone, Allah azza wa jalla will provide for us. What happened to your certainty and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He's the provider. So she convinced everyone to give him that permission he was seeking to go. Now, I don't want us to really be caught up on that decision of his, rahimahullah. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what compelled him or what forced him to do so. Islamically, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to make sure that you have enough for yourself and for your family. And in those days, Hajj wasn't a 10-day package or a 14-day package or a 21-day package. It could take weeks and months in some cases. So we're not here to examine or take a lesson from what he did, but rather what the members of his household, in particular this young lady, this young daughter of his, and what happens later. So Hatim rahimahullah goes to Hajj, leaving his family in the custody and the protection and under Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. And as expected, it didn't take long for them to run out of provision. And they were desperate. And everyone came back to that daughter and they said, look what you got us into. She said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of us. And instead of sitting and complaining, what she did, because she didn't have many resources, but she had the greatest of all resources, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she turned to Allah azza wa jal and she started making dua and asking Allah azza wa jal to relieve them. It didn't take long for someone to come knocking the door. And it was a member of the entourage of the governor who just happened to be visiting the area. And he all of a sudden gets thirsty and he doesn't find anything. He asks the members of his entourage if anyone had water, and they're like, no, we don't have water. Who can get me some cold water? They said, well, there's a house nearby. Maybe we can go check, see if they have water. So they knock on the door. She opens the door. What's going on? Oh, the governor is here. We would like to see if you can get him a sip of water. So she goes and she gets him the best water they had, cold water, and she presents him with it. He drinks, and the taste of the water was amazing. He was so touched by it. And he said, wow, you know, this is amazing. Where did this come from? They said, well, from this household. Can you ask whose house it is? They asked, they inquired, they came back, and they said, oh, it's the house of none other than Hatim al-Asam. Hatim, wow, this great righteous person. We're in his vicinity. So we should say salam to him and thank him. So they inquired about him, and the governor was told that he was out on Hajj. SubhanAllah. We missed him. So he decided to reward that family. He takes a pouch full of gold coins and he throws it into their home. And then he looks at everyone of his entourage and he says, if anyone cares about me and loves me, should do the same thing. So everyone got out of their pocket whatever they had and they dumped it there and they left. The family shuts the door. The daughter turns around. She looks at everyone and she said, I told you, Allah is the provider. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the greatest lessons of Hajj, one of the most powerful lessons of Hajj, is the discovery that you, as a person who performs Hajj, if you reflect and pay attention, you discover the power of two things: the power of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the remembrance of Allah, and the power of dua. And then you hear all these stories, and then tonight, inshallah ta'ala, maybe we'll share some reflections after Isha, inshallah, if you join us. Then you hear all these stories of people and individuals, some of whom did not even realize that they were going to be performing Hajj this year, some of whom had to pray so much for this opportunity. You see people crying, you see people so much into their dua and their prayers and their supplications, people praying for different things. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us throughout the verses that talk about Hajj that the greatest purpose of this Hajj is to remember Allah. وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهِ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَذِكْرِكُمْ أَبَاءَكُمْ فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُ مَنَاسِكَكُمْ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهِ. Over and over again, this concept or this idea that you have to engage in the remembrance of Allah is repeated. And from the moment the person gets into the state of ihram, what is it that we do? We remember Allah. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Our focus is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're responding to Allah azza wa jal. We're mentioning the name of Allah azza wa jal. And even when we're done with everything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the hujjaj that when you're done with all of your rites, فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَذِكْرِكُمْ أَبَاءَكُمْ أَوْ شَدَّ ذِكْرًا. Talk about Allah and mention Allah and remember Allah as much as you remember your forefathers. In the old days, tribes or clans from different places will come and gather. It was a huge conference. And people will start bragging, especially in the days following the Hajj, will start talking about the accomplishments of their tribes and their forefathers and how great they are. Everybody is proud of where they came from. You know, nowadays people exchange ideas and they start talking about themselves and about their businesses and about their successes and about their careers and about their credentials and all of that. This happens. You see that happening. Oh, I did this and I did. Everybody's talking about them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, watch out. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you're done with everything, remember Allah. Mention Allah as much as you mention these things. Or أَشَدَّ ذِكْرًا, or even more. The verses go on, and Allah Azza wa Jal says, even during the days of Eid, these are days of festivity. وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these counted days, these enumerated days of the days of Eid. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that these days, the days of Mina, are أَيَّامُ أَكْلٍ وَشُرْبٍ. These are days of festivities, eating and drinking. وَذِكْرِ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى. And remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This very gathering, why are we here? Young men over there, why are we here? Why did you come here? Oh, some people, maybe they came here because they just wanted to meet their friends, or because it's Jum'ah, we all have to pray Jum'ah. But Allah Azza wa Jal tells us why we are supposed to come here. إِذَا نُودِيَ لِصَّلَاتِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when the call of to the prayer is made on the day of Jumu'ah, فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Listen to me, guys. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, rush, run, flee. Rush to the remembrance of Allah. فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعِ. And leave everything else. Leave your video games, leave your businesses, leave your clients, leave your patients, leave your customers, shut your store, whatever you have to do, فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. This is a moment, this is a time that you have to dedicate for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. Our entire existence and the reason, the purpose of our creation is to establish the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This whole hajj process and act of worship, ibadah, this everything is meant for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah is meant for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So today, what I wanted to say to you, my dear brothers and sisters, is unless you discover the power of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your heart is attached to Allah Azza wa Jal in a manner in which you remember Allah constantly, you remind yourself of Allah Azza wa Jal, you glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you magnify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you constantly remember Allah Azza wa Jal, then this life is a waste. I'm telling you, one of the scholars said that there is a Jannah, paradise. Whoever doesn't enter it in this life will not enter the paradise of Akhirah. And they said, what is it? He said, the remembrance of Allah, dhikrullah. So now, you're one of three people, we are each and every single one of us. You're either experiencing a fortune, أَنْتَ فِي نِعْمَةٍ. And we are all experiencing all kinds of fortunes and we have so many blessings. But at this very moment, you're either focused and fixated on the great accomplishments and the great potentials and opportunities that you have ahead of you next year or whatever it is. Something happened last week, something is happening. Great things are happening in your life. Maybe you got married, maybe you got a new job, maybe you got a promotion, you got accepted in your, you know, the school of your dreams. Whatever it is, you're experiencing something great, something good, you're enjoying yourself. Or there's something that is causing you distress, something that is saddening you, a loss of some kind. You lost a loved one. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon our loved ones that passed away. Or you're having some difficulty at work, you have some financial troubles, you have some, you know, family issues. You're dealing with a difficulty, a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either this or that, right? Or you maybe not necessarily experiencing this or that, but instead you are dealing with and struggling with an addiction of some kind, a bad habit or a sin. It's something that is, everything is fine in your life. You're not necessarily experiencing something extraordinary, some breakthrough in your life or something like that. And you're not necessarily in any financial difficulty, but you are dealing with some sort of sin, some bad practice, unlawful or prohibited lifestyle or something in your life. Whether you're of the first type or the second type or the third type, the solution for all of that is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you're experiencing a fortune, this is what is expected. مَنْ كَانَ فِي نِعْمَةٍ فَلْيَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. We are told that you should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you're thankful, I'll give you more. Most people think that being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just simply to say Allah ka shukr, or to say shukran, or alhamdulillah, thank you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you, Allah has been blessing me, thank you. Allah has been good to me. Well, scholars say that shukr, true shukr, is actually manifests itself in three ways. Number one, an acknowledgement, an internal acknowledgement of the fact that you're indebted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you, and that this blessing is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you, that you may not necessarily be someone who is worthy or entitled. So make sure that you don't have that sense of entitlement. Oh yeah, yeah, I deserve this. But rather that you're indebted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. You acknowledge that all of the blessings are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're humbled by it. Because there are people who are as good or better than you that don't have what you have. There are people, I know that there are people better than me, way better than me, that don't have, are not enjoying the blessings that I'm enjoying. Allah is testing them with their hardships or their issues. And here I am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessing me with these things. So I should be humbled and should acknowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings upon me and be internally in a state of gratitude and have that attitude of gratitude. Alhamdulillah. I mean, what can I say? It's the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not because I'm some special being. So that's the first manifestation, or that's the first level. And it's an internal thing. And again, this is very difficult for many people nowadays. People will come and say, why? Why? Not why did Allah choose me to be the recipient of this blessing? Why do I not have more? That's the attitude nowadays. And that shouldn't be the case. So the first step, or the first level of being thankful, is to internally acknowledge Allah's blessings upon you, and that you may not necessarily be entitled, that you're not entitled, but it's the bounty, the blessings of Allah, it's the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fadlullah. The second level is to actually express that verbally by saying alhamdulillah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah wa bihamdi, alhamdulillah. It's to say that. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a daily basis. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that every day we should be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should express gratitude to Allah azza wa jal. Allahumma ma asbaha bi min ni'matin. Oh Allah, whatever blessings I woke up this morning enjoying, aw bi ahadin min khalqik, or anyone else, fa minka wahdaka la sharika lak, falaka alhamdu wa laka ash-shukr. We should do that. There has to be an expression of gratitude, and we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only when someone comes and you're afraid of nazar, or you're afraid of some evil eye, and you're like, that's when you say, mashallah, mashallah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. No, you're in constant state of thanking Allah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin, alhamdulillah. And the third level or manifestation of gratitude is for you to dedicate, or to really deal with that blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a manner that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to enjoy His blessings upon us, but in a manner that pleases Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a manner that shows that this individual is really aware of Allah azza wa jal and where this blessing came from. See, sometimes Allah blesses people with things, and all they do is just they enjoy it themselves, and it's all about them, and there is no share for anyone. They don't dedicate any of it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we just practice the sunnah of sacrifice, udhiyah and qurbani and all of that. Part of it has to do with that we're sharing some of this fortune with those who don't have it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of this again happens for the love of Allah, for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's if you're experiencing fortune, if you're experiencing a misfortune or some kind of difficulty, again, you have to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be patient and know that Allah azza wa jal has something better for you. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your reward. Again, dhikrullah, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turn to Allah azza wa jal and mention Allah and say, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Or if you're suffering a loss, you say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The remembrance of Allah is a solution. Last, if you're dealing with a sin, then istighfar, tawbah, turning to Allah azza wa jal in a state of repentance. Again, you have to turn to Allah azza wa jal. So no matter what state you may be in, the solution is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turn to Allah azza wa jal and ask Allah azza wa jal to help you either maintain this fortune or deal with the loss or get out of this sinful lifestyle. May Allah azza wa jal make you and I of those who listen and follow the best of what they listen to. أقول هذا القول أستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we have had, and though I just came back a couple of days ago, I could see some of the signs of these storms. We've had multiple storms, I heard, loss of power, just too many of them. Even last night, this morning I was coming for Fajr prayer, I couldn't get out of my neighborhood because there was a large branch of a tree that actually blocked the entire, it blocked the road completely. And it didn't look like a strong storm to me. It didn't sound like a strong storm. I was up all night, due to jet lag. And this is, and when rain comes, we say, and then we hear these thunderstorms, we're like, wow, it's powerful rain. And rain is supposed to be what? Sign of mercy from Allah. As a matter of fact, they said Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, whenever he heard the storm, he used to be so humbled and he used to be in a state of awe, sometimes might cry, and he says, subhanAllah, he says, this is the sound of the mercy of Allah. Imagine what the sound of the wrath of Allah would be like. SubhanAllah. So these things are happening, and I'm saying to myself, we need to do a lot of istighfar, it looks like. There's something going on here. That's just way too many of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is full of grace. He's so gracious, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is happening a lot. So, and one of the ways to deal with these is to make istighfar. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. We need to increase our istighfar, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. This is not just Mother Nature or some global warming issue or climate change. Our lifestyles, our sins, our practices, our choices could have something to do with it. And also we need to look, the second thing that we need to do besides asking Allah for forgiveness is to look at what we are doing. Especially acts of dhulm, injustice, especially against family members and relatives and neighbors. Are we engaged in anything where we're wronging someone and we need to redeem ourselves? These are warning signs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to make sure that we take care of that. رَدُّ الْمَظَالِمِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a matter of fact, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a community or a group of people or a particular area, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes them suffer the consequences of their actions in this life. These are wake-up calls. You're better than this. You're better than this. There is something going on. Maybe this is the message. So we need to ask Allah for forgiveness. And the third thing that we need to do is we need to do a lot of charity. Maybe we're not doing as much as expected from us or as much as a people are supposed to do. Maybe we need to reach out to our relatives and to the poor and give sadaqah. just to me, these things are, I take them very, very seriously. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and protect our household and protect our families. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect each and every single one of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not cause us to suffer the consequences of our sins or the sins of those people who are around us that we're tolerating. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who repent to Him, turn back to Him in repentance and ask Him for forgiveness. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who call other people to Allah azza wa jalla. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lighten the suffering and the burden and relieve our brothers and sisters who are suffering anywhere in the world, especially in the holy lands. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give those who are being wronged and oppressed, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them victory. May Allah azza wa jalla show us the demise of their enemies. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم إنا نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والسلامة من كل إثم والغنيمة من كل بر والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة.